Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Gallup polling shows that 4 out of 5 people believe those in management cannot manage effectively. Our guest on today's This Week in America, award-winning author Dr. Samuel Colbert, says that the stress and poor performance from bad management results in bad business performance. His newest book is Good People, Bad Managers, How Work Culture Corrupts Good Intentions, described as a splash of cold water in the face of corporate America. He uses in-field examples, bringing to light misguided practices, offers practical advice for people at every organizational level to affect change in the workplace. Dr. Colbert is an award-winning author, researcher, professor at UCLA's Anderson School of Management. He's the author of Get Rid of the Performance Review and Beyond Bull, which made Money Magazine's Top 10 Reads list of 2008, and others. Winner of the McKinsey Award for an article published in the Harvard Business Review, contributor to numerous business journals, and now author of Good People, Bad Managers, How Work Culture Corrupts Good Intentions, Dr. Samuel Colbert with us on This Week in America. Dr. Colbert, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Rick. I'm glad to be here.
Looking forward to this. And you say in the beginning of the book, I'm out to expose the so-called good management reasoning that leads to bad practices in the first place, and the doublethink reasoning managers use to hide the negatives of their actions' effect from employees, from cohort managers, and especially from themselves. Let's talk about some of those misguided practices. What exactly are they?
Well, there's an awful... it's very dangerous being a manager, and I'm certainly talking about the good guys, the people with good intentions, not the power-grabbing guys that can't empathize. I'm
yes.
talking about the bosses that probably most of your listeners have, and the negatives that get inflicted on them, not because the boss is out to get them, although it may seem that way. I'm talking about people in management being so consumed with them, with their own security and their own needs for rising in the hierarchy, that they neglect and can't focus on adequately the people that are reporting to them, that are depending on them to help them and give them support.
Talk about, you mentioned in the book, America's getting ahead ethos corrupts the workplace, even for people to go in with good intentions. Talk about that. Talk about the culture in the workplace that turns people who get into management with all the right goals in mind, suddenly they're out to protect themselves and their company at all cost.
Well, just think about it. Just think about all the pretending that's required to appear to be a good manager. The pretending to be objective. People are not objective, particularly in dealing with others and even in seeing themselves. Think about the pretense involved in shining other managers on, never always looking like they're not making mistakes, because a mistake could cost a manager dearly. Pretending to be a team player when they're on the inside telling their people in their work unit not to cooperate, not to give other people, not to give employees in other work units information that they're asking for. There's just a lot of pretending that goes on with being a manager. Pretending to like everybody, convincing other people that they're going to be loyal when they will not.
Yes.
Sidestepping fights, pretending to give one's nodding agreement and not being in agreement. There's so much bad behavior that's required. I mean, you want to get to pretending. How about all the pretending that goes on in just trying to appear as one a person is authentic? When managers go to work in the morning, they go there to play charades, not to tell their not to really speak their mind and let people know directly what they think. It's too dangerous to do that.
One of the management styles, and I think you might have alluded to it a few minutes ago, is the command and control temperament that managers have towards employees. An example is the president. In business, he said he just pushed and pushed and pushed again until he got what he wanted to achieve. Talk about that style of management and how detrimental it is to the people working under you.
Well, I don't think that most people are as obvious as our current president.
Yeah, there's no subtlety there.
Pushing forward their old way. So it's very nuanced. But look, all of us, any manager, particularly people who are insecure, they fear all the variables that they can't control. And the people they can control are their direct reports. And it's not... It just gives some amount of security to their job, and they're not necessarily giving directives and issuing orders, but they're whether it's with hand gestures or facial expressions, they're telling people what they want, and they've got too many opportunities to insist on what they want. But employees like their independence. They like that the boss knows enough about them when the boss does to help them accomplish and achieve goals that are important to them, not to create to work for achievements where the boss takes the credit and then give some hollow words about, I owe it to the team. The boss is focused on his or her well-being, as everybody is. But the work culture makes it difficult for people to be upfront about who they are. And it's too punitive about people making mistakes. In the world of work, one can really take it on the chin if they own up to a mistake. So what we've got, and I describe it in my book, is an art form of people ducking, being accountable, passing the buck down, deflecting. Being literal when they actually got the word, agreeing the things they don't plan to deliver. No, what I try to do in my book, is show people vividly all the illusions. I would see through the illusions and to see the forces at work that are causing well-intentioned people, our best and brightest, to go awry in their behavior, and with all the pretending and with all the phoniness that takes place, they're giving their peers motives for exposing them.
The book we're talking about, if you're just joining us, Good People, Bad Managers: How Work Culture Corrupts Good Intentions. The author is Dr. Samuel Culbert. We're talking about so many examples in the book, and you talk about sort of let's talk about eliminating barriers to transparency, which you talk about that. You often, a manager will say, I want your input, but they really don't want the input. How important is it to create that atmosphere where employees feel safe speaking their minds?
Well, that's a very difficult task in the modern corporation. Everybody wants transparency. And if you get reciprocal transparency, you build a trusting relationship. And I know of no management tool more effective than having trust and loyalty with the people between the manager and the people she or he works with. But being a good manager means also going along from company practices that destroy trust. For example, the performance review. Previously, I wrote a book where I took every justification for performance reviews, and I deconstructed them and showed them all to be fraudulent
yes.
and bogus. Their performance reviews create a wedge between the communications between a manager and their employees, and you'll never have trust with all that intimidation that takes place. And try as I have and others have to get rid of performance reviews because of the trust destructive and bogus basis on which they take place. They don't go away. Managers don't give them up. And in the process, managers never hear from employees what they need to know to improve their management style. You've got performance reviews. Employees are always hearing about what they could do better. But the unintended, or maybe the intended but non-obvious aspect of performance reviews is it keeps the employees quiet. They can't complain because there's too much at stake of alienating the person giving them, quotes, the objective review, and
yes.
it's never objective.
Well, you talk about it allows bad managers to get away with ruthless behavior. The book, Good People, Bad Managers, How Work Culture Corrupts Good Intentions. Dr. Samuel Culbert, our guest on the program. The book is available all around the country. His website is goodpeoplebadmanagers.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can link on. It's interesting, as I'm reading the book, Good People, Bad Managers, the consequences, the negative consequences, are not just limited to the corporation. You talk about managers avoiding taking any action they see as detrimental to the company or to their positions. Talk about the Veterans Health Administration and General Motors. These are two examples where their lack of wanting to step forward and do the right thing really impacted negatively thousands of people.
Not only did it negatively impact thousands of people, just like at Wells Fargo, nobody wanted to tell the CEO and upper executives
yes.
that about the bank accounts that people were opening and charging customers that they didn't need. No, but it also dampens the spirit of the human beings, and not just when they go to work and they participate in long meetings that don't accomplish anything, they're unable to speak their truths. Sometimes just to give the boss a chance to set them straight a bit. And they go home and they bring it with them. And what goes on at work goes home with people, and it really is it can be have a very negative impact on our society. Now, we really have to give more focus to what's taking place in the workplace and understand that that people bring more than their goals for more money and for being able to do higher level jobs. They bring their spirits with them, and oftentimes the workplace, it really dampens spirits and it goes around.
You talk about a new management mentality can happen by removing the hierarchy from the organization. The way it's set up now, and I think that's the case we saw, for example, in the Wells Fargo that you mentioned, those at the lowest rung are the only ones that seem to be held accountable. Those people lost their jobs, and if people at the top left, they left with a golden parachute.
Well, they did until Congress got involved.
Yes.
And then they started chopping it up at the top, too. And likewise at Volkswagen, when their Audi division was fudging emission data. Now, eventually it goes up, so why not start with more transparency inside the company? The competition should be out in the workplace, not inside the company. And you've got situations now where almost everyone has a boss that says the right thing, that shows the good behavior and says, my door is always open. Please come and tell me. I don't want any surprises. And yet so much is going on that makes it difficult for people to speak their truth to people above them in the hierarchy. And I mentioned many of those forces inside the company, and what's implicit is it's got to change. You've got to change the management mentality so that people in jobs can feel more secure, and with that security, get other people, their teammates, and the people below them, give them some focus and work for them. I mean, what is good management? Good management is staging the conditions for other people to accomplish and succeed, getting credit for their accomplishments. But the company cultures too often don't pay off for helping others. It pays off for taking care of yourself. And I mean, just think about it. How many hours should managers spend talking with their direct reports and previewing and not reviewing actions and being candid and authentic? And now, how does a boss get credit for that? How does, if somebody, if an employee makes progress and makes accomplishments, the boss can't take credit for that. You can't list that. There's no metric that allows you to say hours spent or progress made. You just don't get that very often. You can get it in new startups where everybody's for everything because everyone's making out from the results. But in large companies and many small companies as well, it's very tough to get the focus and the support and confidence that allows you to work independently and be your very best.
A few minutes left in the program. In the beginning of the book as well, you're saying you're really talking about system change. And I'm interested to find out what kind of pushback you're getting from people that don't necessarily want to see that system change. And the other part of that, as I mentioned, you're a professor at UCLA's Anderson School of Management. What kind of reaction do you get when you're talking to the next generation of managers?
Everybody buys it, but they go to work, and there's no support for it.
Yes.
I've done exposés of many issues in mainstream good management practices, so-called, and people nod their heads and say they're going to implement, and they can't when they go, and that's the reason I wrote this book. I saw too many well-intentioned people wanting to do things that they knew were more appropriate and respectful of the people that they had hired and that were working for them, and defeated and unaware of what was going on around them that blocked them from realizing their good intentions.
What about the students you talk to? Like I said, the next generation of managers out there. Do you see the response in their face, in their eyes, as you're talking, that they understand what you're saying and they really would like to see these changes? But again, they can't do it alone.
Well, I think that by and large, our MBA students are more interested in succeeding than they are in managing the way I describe it. And initially, theoretically, in their minds, people see that this is the kind of good management they'd like to receive. But you go out into the workplace and you start experiencing the competitive forces of your peers and the pressures from your superiors, and you get distracted from good intentions. Good intentions are wonderful after I feel secure enough and I see that what I'm doing is going to accrue and make me a success. And the pressures to succeed and move up the chain, you know, and managers who don't move up, they move on. They're moved out. So the pressures are tremendous. And what I want to do is make people aware of the pressures that are taking place, the forces on them that cause them to engage in behavior that isn't as supportive and of the people that are depending on them to guide and coach them and give them the support that allows them to succeed. So you started off by citing the Gallup poll, which says that 4 out of 5 managers lack the talents. I don't think that it's talents, because I think people come to the workplace with tremendous talents. I think it is that they lack the awareness of what is going on and what is pushing and driving their behavior. And I think that they need to have their eyes opened.
You know, I got about a minute here. In the beginning, I talked about hiding the negatives, managers hiding the negatives from their employees, from cohort managers, and you said, sadly, especially themselves. In many cases, do they know deep down, despite the doublethink reasoning they're using, that this really isn't the way to do it, but to preserve myself and my position in the company, I have to do it this way?
Well, do they realize it? I think a lot do, and they don't know what to do about
yes.
the realization.
Yes.
And it's hard to talk with their cohort manager, because to start talking about it with the people who maybe could create some forces of change, you're in the process of doing it. You're telling people that you're about the games that you're playing, and that makes you vulnerable. So really it becomes a culture that silences one's awareness, and it becomes, at some point, it becomes too easy to go along to get along, and you lose the awareness of what's going on, and the cycle continues. We've got to break it up. And I really appreciate your questioning, Rick, because I think it demonstrates that you too are aware that this has to be changed.
Yeah, as you're reading, you can find all these real-life examples. It is a fascinating book. It is a groundbreaking book. Good People, Bad Managers, How Work Culture Corrupts Good Intentions. The author is Dr. Samuel Culbert, award-winning author, professor at UCLA's Anderson School of Management. The book, Good People, Bad Managers, available wherever books are sold across the country. Also at the website, Dr. Culbert's website, goodpeoplebadmanagers.com. You can link on directly to get all the information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Dr. Culbert, thank you so much. A fascinating book. Great discussion. Thank you for being with us on the program.
I enjoyed the opportunity. Thank you.
You're welcome. Once again, the book, Good People, Bad Managers, Dr. Samuel Culbert, the author and our guest. Information at the website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.